Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, the final one of the season with the head men's basketball coach for Montana State Billings, George Pfeiffer, Ken Adeblue with you as well, and the Road Warrior. You finally get one on the road against Northwest Nazarene, the last game of the season. George, you know, it's been a great year for you, but taking a look at getting that one road victory and making it to the last game of the season, you know, starting off next year with a one-game road streak, had to be pleased with the way the men responded.
Well, it was kind of funny in the locker room after the game with Nazarene. Mario says, you know, it just feels like we won a playoff game. I mean, and, we've been so close. I mean, we could reach out and touch it. You know, we go back and talk about those 3 out of 4 on the road, the last 2 seconds, the overtime, the buzzer beater. You know, those are really, really great opportunities for us to win on the road. And then, there was a lot of grit and guts that went into that Saturday night win against Northwest Nazarene. It does a great thing for us. It jumps us into the middle of the pack because we sweep Nazarene on the year. We have identical records in conference. And we're picked, you know, second to the last or last by a lot of people. And, so I think we kind of changed perception a little bit. We have some people we'll talk about as we go on that really made that happen for us here this year. But, you know, it was fun to watch that type of effort by our guys down almost all night. And it was kind of the epitome of this group. I mean, we have kind of been behind it all the time, and we never fall off. We just keep fighting. And, for them to get that payday in that game was I felt so good for so good for those guys in the locker room afterwards.
You talked early in the season, and this is kind of the correlation I was thinking about as I looked at the box score, not being able to go to the game. But you talked a lot early in the season because being a first-year head coach here at MSUB, you talked a lot about the fact that players were auditioning for minutes. It almost seemed to me, looking at the box score, that players were still auditioning for minutes, but maybe taking a look to the 2009-2010 season.
Well, you know, this is a competitive marketplace. We don't need to talk a lot about it, but we play Central Washington. We play 2 of our last 3 games are against the 2 teams who play in the championship for the conference, Western, who wins it, and Central Washington, who loses at their place. And we play senior night at Central Washington. And it might have been, I've been proud of these guys. I was really proud of these guys after the Northwest Nazarene game. But I'm not so certain I wasn't more proud of them with the way they fought at Central Washington. You and I were talking before the broadcast that, I picked the stat sheet up and talk with Coach Wetzel, and Coach McGee's on the road recruiting as he should be, and I look at the stats and at Central we're shooting almost 70%, we're 69 something from the field, almost 66%, 65 something from 3-point line, and almost 79%, 78 something from the free throw line, and we're down 5, and and we had a bad little spurt at the beginning and we ended up losing by 16. But they fought. I mean, it was just, if you know anything about athletics and you watched their talent level versus our talent level and what we put forth as far as effort mentally and physically, it was really it pulled at the strings of my heart, I got to tell you. And so then for us to come back, Saturday, it really does set a tone, I think, for this program. You could sense, just the way our guys carried themselves in the airport on Sunday and how their mentality is in study table right now. A couple of them, we've basically anchoring ourselves into the learning lab and making sure we're getting all caught up academically. But, guys are on their own going into the weight room, starting to work. You know what I mean? And that's a good feeling. That's a good sign when you have people that are ready for next year to start.
Well, it's a time of reflection, and it's a time to look ahead, and we're going to be doing that during the second and third segments of the Coach's Show. The Coach's Show is brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coach's Show coming up right after this.
A lot of people are proud of their jobs and what they do. I'm one of them. I'm Renee, one of the customer service representatives for Northwestern Energy. We get your phone calls about problems, little ones and big ones. During a winter blizzard, snow and wind knock down lines, bury roads, and makes it tough for us to work. We will work 24 hours a day so you can have power again. It's what we care about. Yes, I'm proud to work here.
Northwestern Energy, delivering a bright future.
Welcome back to the final Coach's Show of the season with the head men's basketball coach here at Montana State Billings, George Pfeiffer. Ken Adelblue with you. You know, it's interesting. I can look back at the very first game you had this season, just an exhibition game against Dickinson State. Boy, that was, you know, really wasn't all that long ago, and yet it seemed like an eternity, you know, coming up on Tuesday, November 11th, a game you won here at home. And I remember after the first, I had no idea how you guys were going to be. And I remember after about the first minute and a half, I had one of those wow moments where I said, this team is much improved from the year before when you just won one game. Let's talk about the early part of the season, because I know you had a lot of question marks too coming into the season in terms of what this team. When you looked at this team early, was there a point in time when all of a sudden you thought to yourself, you know, we're really a pretty good basketball team. We're going to make people sweat it out. Can you narrow that down to any particular time where that may have happened for you?
Well, I think for me personally, when we got into the Colorado Christian series and, you know, we had that split with them in there, that gave me a really good indication as to who we could be. I thought when we lost the two close games at, you know, Seattle Pacific and Western Washington, that also told me what kind of program we could be this year, the opportunity that we had. The things that, you know, going back to Dickinson State is, you know, how well is your bench going to cover? You know, how long can you play those guys? And I think there was a point in time in there where we kind of floundered a little bit early on in the preseason. I thought, well, we got away from, we have to get better. You know what I mean? I thought some of our guys thought, hey, I got to stay rested so I can play in the game. And we took that card away from them. We just said, that's not going to happen. We'll play you less minutes. You know, the one thing I think this group did was really bought into the fact that every day we went out to practice, we were going to have to get better. Sometimes when you have really good teams, you get to a point in time where you don't want to risk injury and you don't want to risk, you know, burning up all the gas in the gas tank for that improvement quotient, because it will affect you as far as your performance in the game. But with this team, every day we went out there, something new was taking place, something was being improved on. I think for us as coaches, we talked about the early season in the gym in the fall and trying to establish that tough guy, you know what I mean, kind of beat on your heart type deal with your fist is, you know, Tarzan, let's go. And when we played with that, we were really, like you say, we made people sweat and we beat some people. And so I think that was a mindset and a culture that I think that these guys started to embrace, and some of them did not have that in their nature, and some of them still have to improve on that. But I do think that that's who this program needs to be, and I thought that started to, you know, I saw it in the Dickinson State game. We started to, you know, that started kind of peaking itself around the corner, and you saw it in our stats. Our rebounding was, you know, last year we were down 12 or something like that in rebounding, and we're getting beat by 28, and, you know, we narrowed those gaps significantly.
It's interesting. I think when you take a look at the year and you know, and I realize there's a lot of programs out there that can say this, but I don't think anyone to the point that you can, you know, ball bounces your way a few more times. I mean, you're looking at a 500 season at the least. Now, somebody could also argue, because you won a lot of close games, that, you know, ball bounces the other way and maybe things. So I realize that's not really a valid argument. Nonetheless, there were a lot of, and I know as a coach who's had a lot of success at LC State and other programs, that, you know, you're not really big into moral victories, but there were probably a lot of moral type victories this year. I suspect from a coach's standpoint, you look forward to the day when moral victories are non-existent, where you either get a victory or you don't.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if there's a question in there, but I would champion your statements. I do think, you know, as I alluded to with Seattle Pacific and Western Washington, it wasn't a moral victory so much as it was, it gave us a dot on the spectrum as to where we knew we were going to be. And if you go back and look at it now, Seattle Pacific, Western Washington, and Central Washington, they're the top teams in our league. And we're able to play Western Washington, who was the champion of our league. We were able to play them to 3 points at their place. And at our place, with 48 seconds to go, it's a three-point game. So that 3 points is a lot larger on the spectrum than one would think. But on the other hand, we're a lot closer to where we need to be. Now, we need to have some vast improvement by some of the people that are going to be coming back in the program. We need to have some real positive hits in what we do as far as recruiting is concerned. But the culture's changing. You know, I mean, the sense of who we can be in the GNAC is certainly changing. The close games, I've, you know, coached 30 years, and never, ever have I been through anything. And I'm, you know, talk to a lot of my coaches and peers and, you know, what should I do different, or how do we do this? And, you know, and the reality of it is you'd like to have more control over it. Making a free throw, you know, getting a stop, those kinds of things, maybe, you know, a little tighter with your play here or there. But, you know, my wife said it best. She says, maybe you were overachieving just putting yourself in that position. You know what I mean? To make that game close and give yourself the opportunity to capture the victory. So she says, let's not, keep better perspective. She's real good balance for me. I can tell you that. But unfortunately for next year's group, when we're conditioning, when we're working on a set, when we're working on a specific fundamental, I can tell you I will wear them out with, you know, last year, you know, we were 1 point away or one possession away, or you gave this up right now, and that's the difference between winning and losing. And that was a theme and message that they heard all the time this year. But the reality of it is, I think this is going to be a lot stronger and you know, we've said it before, sometimes a bad moment in time is good advice never heard. And so at least we'll have an experience base to that. But you're also right. We won a lot of close games, too. I mean, this last game, for example, against Nazarene, you know, Brett Taylor hits a, you know, they hit a three. Brett Taylor comes back down, you know, bangs a three with 40-some seconds to go to push it right back out to five. Blaine and Henson each grab big offensive rebounds, put them back in the hole. You know, Adam steps through a pass when the score is 58-56 and takes it through for a layup. Those are big plays. Those are people making big plays in big game situations. So, you know, I think I sometimes dwell on the 9 games that we lost by 5 points or less. There were probably another handful of games that we won that were into that last possession too. So, yeah, you know, we've done some good things as far as building this program. And I think, you know, Mike Hall and Travis Bunker coming in and spending their senior year here, that had to be tough, but it also had to be enjoyable for them. And I think they did a lot to help get this program moving in the right direction.
Both those players you just mentioned got honorable mention, Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Bunker, you know, led the league in minutes. He may have led the nation, for all I know, with the numbers that he put in. I thought I don't want to say he was a surprise, because I saw him early in the year, and I just thought, this guy's a beast, and that's Derek Wright. His improvement, particularly once you got into conference play, I mean, he just stepped it up to a whole other level, I thought.
Well, if there's anything about, you know, we understand that when you have conference accolades, and I kind of believe in it. To the victor goes the spoils. So if you look at our conference accolades, the majority of the people that are on there are the people who did really well in our conference, and I think there's some truth to it. except for in the case of Derek Wright. I really believe in my heart he was the newcomer of the year. Now he doesn't have it on paper, and, you know, we'll bring that up to him. And maybe that'll be kind of a battle cry, you know, as far as his off, you know, off-season workouts and things like that. But it would be hard to find a guy who was more efficient around the basket than that guy was. I mean, you know, he was most nights for the last 10 or 12 games was double covered every single time he touched the ball. Two people were coming to him, different strategies. And the one night I remember at Seattle Pacific where he dropped 32, he was one-on-one covered. That was the end of that. Nobody ever covered him again one-on-one the rest of the year. I mean, nobody ever just said mono-mono, here we go. And he, you know, I bet you the last 12, 13 games he averaged, you know, over 20 points a game, shot close to 56, 57%, and snared 8 rebounds a game. I bet in that last 10 or 12 games if you do that. And those are the games that really count and matter. So his free throw percentage drastically improved. And he started to kind of emerge as a leader for us, which is really good. I know we had some talks in the office back at the beginning of February, end of January, about, hey, in a little bit, the baton's going to be passed on to you. And so, you know, you might as well start reaching back trying to grab onto it. And so I saw him with his, you know, I can't think there's a more positive person on our campus than Derek Wright. Everybody knows who he is, and again, in a positive way. I think he's not only affected our basketball program, but this campus community. And so, you know, he's going to be a real big piece for us as we build this program in the future.
And we're going to talk about that coming up. Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be back with the third part of the Coaches Show coming up right after this.
Sign up with Sign Pro. Let the people know.
Have you seen the full color vehicle wraps in Billings? The professionals at Sign Pro can design your vehicle graphics from one color to a full color wrap. Together with Sign Pro, you can create a visual impact for your business. For 17 years, Sign Pro has produced top quality, cutting edge signage. So go ahead, create an impact for your business. Sign up with Sign Pro today, 259-3200.
Sign up with Sign Pro.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adablu talking with George Pfeiffer, the head men's basketball coach here at Montana State Billings. We've reflected on what has been, I think, a very, very positive experience this year for Yellow Jacket basketball. Now going to take a look ahead, losing your leading scorer in Michael Hall, losing your leading rebounder and individual in terms of minutes played in Travis Bunker. Of course, the cupboard's not exactly bare. You got Mario Burns, I thought, emerged as one of the better point guards in the league this year, and there were a bunch of good point guards in the GNAC, so I realize that, you know, we can debate that up and down. Derek Wright's coming back. You got Kirk Blaine. Really just losing two seniors, and, you know, got a lot of people coming back. If you take a look at the foundation that you set this year, a lot of reason to be optimistic, I would think, coming into next season.
Well, I tell you, one of the most improved players in our program is Brad Hodge. I mean, because early on, and he heard me say this, so I'm not going to say anything different, I thought he was really soft. And I thought as time went on, he became mentally tougher. And played with a lot more sense of urgency. We'd still need him to move about 25 to 30% stronger in that direction. But his athletic, you know, when he plays with a sense of urgency and played with the, you know, with the physicality that he needed to play with, his athleticism combined with that mindset made, you know, he was 7 for 9 against Central Washington. I showed you the highlight tape we had where he just went right over the top of their post and just beast down a dunk right on top of his head. So, you know, I think that's a real positive. You know, we've signed Tyrone Williams out of Miles City. You know, he went to a really, really powerful high school in Houston, was the MVP of the Outback Tournament there, about 6'5 and a half, 225, real athletic. Plays with a smile on his face all the time. A gladiator, never going to put up huge numbers, just, you know, unless you force him to do that because he's such an unselfish player. So I think he's going to give us some needed frontline depth. But, you know, we're going to get some players in here. You know, Coach McGee, like I say, he was out on the road recruiting. And when you put this microphone down, my bags are packed and I'm gone for a week as well. So we think we've identified some good players. We think we have a good, decent foundation of players coming back into the program. You know, this isn't going to, you know, you're not going to snap your fingers as much as you'd like to think and change things. But again, Mike Hall's, you know, his points, Travis Bunker's Iron Man mentality, we had to have those things for us to get double digit wins. We had to have those things for us to finish in the middle of the pack this year. You know, Mario Burns ended up, last time I checked, he was sixth in the country in assists. We were one of the top teams in the country in assists. You take a look at the baskets that we make in a game, 65-70% of our baskets come off an assist. That's a really good thing. That's a real positive team thing. So, yeah, anyway, I do think that we've, you know, I think we probably, you know, when I stand in a river fly fishing this summer staring at the water, we'll realize that we possibly overachieved compared to where people thought we were going to be. But the real work as far as the foundation of next year is in the works right now.
You mentioned one specific player, but what are some of those particular areas, getting beyond players, but what are some of those particular things that you take a look at this team and say, okay, this is what we need to shore up to take it to the next level?
Well, we need to add shooting, because we're going to lose some of that. So we need to get some perimeter players, which we feel like we can't say more than this, but we've got some people who are committed to us. We need to get a couple guys out of our tax bracket, which we're involved with right now. We would like a post player with big size. I don't know if we're going to get that, but we'd like to bring a couple high school players in here, which we feel like we're close to having that commitment done. So you want to build for next season, because you want to go to another level. And like you say, we don't want moral victories. Yet again, on the other hand, you also want to lay a foundation for past just next year. And so it's kind of it's not a calculus problem, but it's certainly not an arithmetic problem either. So anyway, getting the right guys in here, getting guys who can play multiple roles, that's going to be important. We'd like to be more athletic. You know, we'd like to be a little bit stouter. So I think we're going to find a few of those pieces, hopefully.
Taking a look at this, just kind of on a personal note to kind of finish this thing off, it was difficult. You know, and I did the play-by-play for the basketball games this year. It was difficult watching the last couple of seasons, watching the Yellow Jacket program struggle. We were anxious to see what would happen when they went through the coaching process. You know, I'll be honest with you, I looked at all the resumes. I knew of your name there at Lewis Clark State, but taking a look at them, all good candidates. When you were announced, I don't want to say I was ambivalent about it, but I said, oh, that's good. We'll see what happens there. I think taking a look at the season and everything else, you know, just my own personal opinion here, and I think the opinion shared by a lot of folks is, I think there's no question MSUB did the right choice. So congratulations on a great season. Really looking forward to next year as well.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. There's a lot of people that it's not George Pfeiffer that got 10 wins this year. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of administrators. There's a lot of people in this department. There's a lot of things. I mean, you did a tremendous job, and I certainly appreciate your professionalism and your coverage of our program. That's obviously meant a lot as we try and grow the exposure of Yellow Jacket basketball. But you know, this is an exciting time. I don't need the alarm clock to go off in the morning to get me out of bed. I enjoy staying here late. We've got, you know, I do. I just think we have a tremendous cast of people who work inside of, you know, Montana State University Billings. The community itself is, you know, just really good people. And I said, when you put all those things together, the recipe for success is certainly inside that cookbook.
Okay, again, congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. That'll do it. Of course, you can listen We'll be doing coaches shows with Chris Brown, the baseball coach, and of course Anthony Stone of the softball programs, along with the soccer coaches Don Trentum and Dan McNally coming up. And of course, we'll be back with Yellow Jacket basketball next season. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.